I hope you have heard my talk, she said, if you have followed it. I clearly say there are two aspects of religions. One is the outer, the other is the inner. We have taken steps as an outer aspect of religion. Reading of scriptures, saying of prayers, performance of certain rites and rituals. And that has been explained to you, their scope, what they are meant for. Reading of scriptures, if rightly understood with somebody who knows the world, that creates an interest to know God. And that ends there. Saying of prayers and performance of rites and rituals, they are meant for developing love and devotion in us for God. These are good actions, have their own reactions and good results. These are meant for the preparation of the ground for the other way, which is higher, to be taken up when you rise above body consciousness. All these pertain to the body. These are meant for the preparation of the ground, remain in some religion. But to remain in this, in any religion, and only taking the preliminary steps and not taking the higher, you do not derive full benefit from following that religion. A true Christian is one who sees the light of God. And all others have defined the same way. So what you have been given is not religion, but spirituality. You follow? Spirituality is not religion. Religion is a social body, a school in which you have joined to attain spirituality. Spirituality, what it is self-analysis of soul from mind and outgoing faculty, knowing oneself and being in tune with God. This is what is, strictly speaking, spirituality. It is no spiritualism, no spiritism, no mesmerism, no hypnotism. So while you follow the first step, when you have been given the higher step, some man came up to me yesterday that he is putting in 3 hours for yoga, Hatha yoga. What should he do? Well, go on doing Hatha yoga. That will lead you to give you good body. Why not give some time to make your body fit? Not 3 hours. Say half an hour something there to make your body fit. Rest 2.5 hours for this higher purpose. You follow my point? What I say? You have been given to be true Christian. You have been given a contact with the Word, which is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. You have been given something that God manifests in any human form. He is the light of the world. They are children of light. When they come to the world, they give all the light to all and everybody. You follow my point? So you are not to leave any religion as a social body. But you acquire something higher. No, you get something higher, still you spend your whole time, 24 hours, for that and not for this what you have got. What's the use of having this? I am not changing your religion. If I change, I will have to form a new one. New rules, new regulations, new rights and everything. Why to waste time in that? But only to think because you are a Christian or a Hindu or a Muhammad and you will be just accepted at the court of God, that is 100% wrong. Unless you become true to God, you come in contact with the light of God and follow the masters who came in the past, they gave universal religion, you cannot be accepted at the court of God. You follow me now? You remain where you are. Remain your relations continue. Go to the church, you get the first step with your reference. When they are taken in front of you, can utilize that time for higher purpose, you are brought away. You are not to hate them, you see. You, those who have come in contact with those you have been already, love them. And if you got something higher, tell them friendly, but this is something the further way up in our own scriptures, you see. So you are not, when anybody tells you only, comparatively, they must make clear the point, you see, that this is the value. We do the sense. If not, you will have to create another religion. What for? Those religions which have stood the test of times, why not remain there? By changing outer forms, etc., does not bring you closer to God, mind that, unless you follow the teachings what the Master gave. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Did he not say that? He said, I am the light of the world. That Christ lived before Jesus and after too. Christ's power was the God power which manifested that the human power of man, Son of Man. We have great respect for Son of Man, a true pole that God power. But that continues forever. In the Unity Temple, I gave a talk. Well, I had to ask him, well, what are your principles? Then he gave me, who was Christ? And there it is given, Christ lived before Jesus. What is the difference between the two? God power, God into special power, world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That God power, or the Guru power, or the Master power, or the Christ power is the same. That lives forever, before and after. Their teachings have been universal. So you have got something diamond-like. If you go on like to just, you have business in the silver, you may do if you like, but the diamonds are more valuable. Go on within where you are. You may have contact there. No hard and fast truth. If anybody has told you not to leave off all this, I think they have not been able to explain fully what it meant.
You just answered my question before I asked.
No, the facts remain, you see, that will appear. If you have got something very valuable, you still go on with iron work, it is your value. It has its value. These are good actions, I am not underrating them. But these are meant for the preparation of the ground. Use your good fortune and your search after God. God has given you a step further. It is God who has given it. I always tell this, if God manifests in man who can give you a contact with him. So you have to love all, you see. Your friends, tell them you have found something else which was hidden before in our scripture. They will come round. If you have to just learn to hate them, then where is the love? You say love God and love everybody. But don't be led away, mind that. You are having something else, don't leave it for the sake of. What we do? We stick to the outer casing of walnut and ignore the kernel. But don't do that. You follow me? That I made no religion. Definitely. And now I am going to make any religion. Now, to me, anybody does it, it is. He is going astray, the point, I tell you. This is a truth which is one, has been experienced by one and all. Ever since the world came. Though they knew the truth, they gave out that way. This question was put to my master. He says, where is Kanna? Where is Kanna? Why should he not be here? People will be referring to him. Well, I am telling something very important question, which has been explained already so many times, as far as you know already, but this is a question here, that we should not ignore the kernel of sticking by sticking to the outer covering of the walnut. Make the best use of it. You are not to hate anybody. And especially in this school where you have been, If you got something higher in the very school that the minister do not know, surely I am not exaggerating. I have come in contact with ministers of all religions. Majority of them, they are ignorant about these higher things. And that is why they have mentioned. So for that you can tell us that there is something more in our own scriptures. So in that case, they will also come out. Not change religion now profoundly, nor the least, but a further step in their own, as given in their own scripture. So love for all those who are going on the higher, but others, also God is in them. If you hate them, then who will be? When you found a candle of light, put it not under a bushel, but place it where it can attract the attention of other seekers. So those who are, you are in some church, yeah, I am in some church. If my brothers over there are ignorant, I must measure it in our own scripture. See? So you have to love for no hatred for none. But don't ignore the diamond wealth. Replace it by the copper or the iron or the silver. This is what I mean to say. I think that point is clear to you. I tell you honestly, even the bishops do not know what is what. Majority of all religions, not I am telling of the Christians only, but other religions too. Now men of other religions, they direct them to me. For the inner go to him. They are supposed to be knowing God. If they know God, they must give up. They simply give you go on with the first step. That will do. Well, that is wrong. I tell you honestly. If you have only one form and go on like that, well, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. Have love for them. But if you don't love them, how will he help you? By love, you can make anybody understand. By hatred, you can. Nobody will come near you. You will be defaming the work of your own movement. Revival, I would say, not movement, you see. Of the old truth, we have forgotten. I think this point is very clear. Yes. Yes, please. As regards reading of scripture, what I have written, I have given a digest of the cream of the inner way up, as given by all scriptures. To the best I know, theoretically, by parallel study of religions and practically. So that is a claim with you. You may read them first. If anything on that, I give reference to other scriptures too. You can quote here such and such, also say that. Let it be basic principle which guides you direct. And then you quote, Lord Krishna says so, Christ says so, Buddha says so. But don't make the basis though, because they also form part of other things too. Is it? They have their own rituals, everything. They lay sometimes, on account of ignorance, too much importance to the preparatory step and not mention later. So we have been given what is the digest or the cream. That is your preference. As God's power for the masters, let there be no misunderstanding about it. Dr. Johnson was a missionary. He first went to India to find somebody in Kulnata, went to preach. Came back twice. When he went, he had the good fortune to meet our master. He sat at his feet, learned something for 7 years, 6 years. I was there too. Well, he wrote this part of the manuscript form. His spirit was the same as a missionary. Well, Muslims don't know anything, Sikhs don't know anything, Hindus are wrong, such and such men are wrong. This is very dreadful. So 3 copies are made out of that. One was given to me. One was given to Sardar Bahadur Jagat Singh. Third was given to Professor Jagmohan Lal. So Professor Jagmohan Lal never returned the manuscript. Sardar Bahadur returned with few pages with too many strictures. He would not listen. If you say any man, you are blind, he won't listen. You simply ask your dear servant to lose your eyesight, and he will listen to you. Now remain the whole thing, the world and my shoulder. I tell my master that yes, it's like that, he's done his mission way. Well, mission is wrong, that is wrong, that is ours is the only way, and all others are wrong, this and that. So you may point out to him. I went to him. I told him, look here, dear Dr. Johnson, you have done splendid work in bringing out this manuscript, but it appears here and there you are not in the full law of things. That is why you have not been able to do full justice to the work. I would like to know. And then I gave them from the Hindu, from the Mormon literature, from all others, quotations and everything. He revived it. After we on those lines, whatever you given though, there are some flaws there though, anyhow, that was said that. When that was revised, that never came to me, after we. But he revised the other part, you see, that is quite, I think, palatable. About this Christianity portion, I told him, you, Dr. Johnson, you must polish it down. It is put in a very drastic way. What did he say, you see? He said, well, my brothers in the West won't wake up until I say that way. That which is spirit was there. So he did not revise it. I found the Christian do not relish that part. That you're very drastic way, you see. Now they have revised that. For the revised copy has been issued. So this is the true state of affairs. Now it is up to you to do what you like. Have something what you got very direct and may refer to others. You may utilize the other one. So other parts are written in the Christianity course, still people don't like it. I think one man was going to be initiated. When he read that thing, it threw away the book and said, I don't like to be initiated. He says, what is the part of the initiation of the science, you see? So you may read other books if they are on the fine. Then you have got something cut and dyed, you see, the first thing. You may refer to others, there is no harm. Yes, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, regarding to our diet master,
yes?
I'm trying to explain, where do we stand on the serums and shots and all that sort of thing?
Serums?
From the injections. Hormones.
Then, look here, there ways of treatment, you see. If there is something direct on the subject that is not permissible, you avoid it, that's all. What can be done? Life cannot be prolonged by any man, by any doctor. That is all in fixed up. But you can help it in the other way. And whatever you find, that is very minimal, then the whole homeopathy should go to war. Because that is people in the inquiry, you see. The question is about the intoxication that gives. That very minimum one drop can be intoxication. But the other way it is too much good. So personally don't take it for the personal relishing or anything like that, you see. Injection is also based on the principle of homeopathy. Little thing play up the whole blood. Avoid as much as you possible by having recourse to others. If there is no other alternative, just let us see. Yes?
Master, I know this really shouldn't happen to people who are seriously dedicated to you, but I would like for you to explain how best to deal with and avert personality crises which periodically occur. I would like a little
elaboration
on that because it does occur.
You know that I always enjoin to keep diaries for self introspection for one and all, including group leaders and everyone. Yes? If we live up to that, there can be no conflict. First thing is, don't think evil of others. Non-violent by your harsh words. You see? That is the main cause of creating hatred. You can either just tell an old blind man, and then you ask him, dear sir, when did you lose your sight? There's a difference between the two, isn't there? One is harming, the other is not. Similarly, if you find anything wrong in somebody, tell him privately, dear friend, this is done not appear to you. And don't broadcast it, don't make parties, don't go by the ears and the eyes of others. What we do? First we do something, who are attached to you, they form a party. And those are carried tales to others. Like what you say, diseases arise by infection, you see. That infection goes out, they are party. You keep your own diary, but don't think of evil, don't hear evil of others, don't see evil of others, don't speak evil of others. Then that is, if there's anything wrong in others, find out friendly. I think this is the main cause. We simply don't, wait a minute. We simply see, well, we are in authority, we will say, I'll turn you out. Well, who are you to turn anybody out? This is the satsang of the master. All are telling for the sake of the master. If anybody says, one or two, the initiate or anybody, well, that is not following the instructions of the master. Those in charge, place in charge, are group leaders, they are given the children for their custody and help. See? And also, you love one another. If you love another, love knows arrows may creep up, but love knows forgiveness and forgetfulness. I think you follow this very principle, your community. Our words should be kind. Kind words don't cost us anything, but kind words must be imbued with the humility. Sometimes we, in our own reality, oh, you are, I can do, I can't do these things. Well, these are the things which create all of us. You give, appreciate others' effort, whatever effort is made, more or less. If you give appreciation, the other man is encouraged to help you. He may have the flaws. Those flaws may be pointed out separately, privately, not broadcasted like, because that will make parties, you see. So that is the cause of all friction, which has risen in the past, may arise in the future. If you love Master, you attend satsang for the sake of the Master. The groups in charge should treat you like mothers, I would say. You see? They are not masters, but they have been selected to help you. They also may have some flaws, you see, but their way is not to go away privately. You can request them that disappears. I hope you will hear me. Even if you friendly, one or the other, if you tell them privately it is not, or then what is done cannot be undone. Go there, anybody. That is your own, I mean, mistake. That has nothing to do with the teachings of the Master. It is only because you don't follow it, all this friction. If you follow, love Master and all those who go to him, love him. Love knows service and sacrifice. If anything happens, love beautifies everything. Love knows forgiveness and forgetfulness. Is it? So even if you follow this very principle, there can be no like that. So, as I told you, if you meet, if you find anything, go to him privately and clarify. You see? Don't block them. That makes parties. That is. Don't hear through the ears of others, don't see through the eyes of others. If only that was done, you see. Group leaders are there to help, you see. They have great responsibility. All the same, they are helping you. They are sit together, make arrangements, sacrifice their time, their money sometimes, and also labor. They don't want anything returned. But they are, I tell you, they clearly give you understand that master is master, they are not master. Don't mistake that. This is a clarifier. If there is anything, when one man sees, God gives him eye to see the God and the Master is everything. Well, his eye, her eyes have been opened. His eye has been opened. He sees that way. Then he said, why don't you go like that? As I explained to you, everything has its value, you see. Some are of higher value, some are of lower. Fact remains like that. So I appreciate, you see, all of you who are group leaders or others, to just think that way. You sacrifice your time, your something, for what? For higher purpose, to know what. Suppose there is a resentment between the two, he leaves the place and goes away. Then, well, this is not part of the science, you see. Because we are all not perfect, yes, you see, we are on the way. Some are more, some are less, the others less. But you make an allowance for that, you see. Yes, please.
Yes, would you say...
But don't forget to attend your group meetings. Mind that. If you leave away that, then you led away. Because there the question is, the lesson is revived. Mind that. You go to church here, I don't mind.
Bear in mind.
Yes. If you go there, I tell you one thing more. If you find truth anywhere else, tell me, I will also follow you. That's all. Yes.
Master, something very unusual.
Yes, sir.
Happened to me last night at 1 o'clock when I was sleeping.
Yes.
I wake up and heard your voice calling my name.
Yes.
Very, very strong.
That's right.
Is that bad or good? I know it's bad because I couldn't sleep all night. I really ask you because your voice is so... I never heard anything in my life before except knocking on the doors or things like that. But your voice was so clear, calling that the whole room was like a sun.
Yes, I tell you now, as I've said many times, son of man is not the master. Son of man is the human power at which that God is the master only who works there. And it is that God power which goes round, awakens all those who are initiated. And also, those who have got some background even appears to them, although they do not know who is who, you see. This is God power. When the man is initiated, that master power or God power resides with him. Call it Christ power or Guru power. And is ever on the guide to bring him up. If we cannot face him, he will be guiding you, speaking to you by manifesting himself and otherwise. Once or twice for a time you don't hear, you lose your chance. But still he is there. Whenever you turn your face to him, he is there.
Master, your voice was very clear, and after that, since I couldn't sleep all night, I had very funny and different things in the room, but I just thought the most...
That the best thing was sit in meditation. That's all. It happens sometimes, those who have not seen the form of the Master out of us, they never heard about him for years before they having the manifestation of that form. And they are wondering what is that. Then when they met me, oh, I saw you 3 years back. Well, it is the God power that appears. We are all in the make. That's all. I tell you. In the scriptures, we sometimes find the word soul is dead. In Christian literature also, and others too. What do they mean? Guru Nanak says, only he is alive, O Nanak, who is conscious, become conscious of the divine plan, who knows, sees God. All others are dead. You follow me? Those whose attention is identified with all outside things that you consider to be a death, but really not death. You see? This is what is meant by all scriptures. Soul is never dead. But when it's your whole attention is absorbed in outer things, material things, it is defined as dead. If you withdraw it, it is already there, but awakens. Let's go.
Good evening. And welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording that was just played was the first half of the session that of the evening talk given by Master on 7th January 1964 in Miami, Florida. Our reader this evening is Rudy Cascon. Hello, Rudy.
Hello, Rudy. Okay, thank you. Today's reading is from the Japji. I'm starting on page 109 of the PDF file and on our website in the Internet. Those who know not the word are blind as well as deaf, for they do not see its light and do not hear its melodious song. Of what use is their coming into the world? They enjoy not the sweet elixir of Harinam and lose their earthly lives in vain. They go around in the endless cycle of births and deaths like filthy worms. They drown themselves in the filth of sensualism. They are truly devoid of intellect and revel in the darkness of ignorance. The Bani, word resounding through the four yugas, proclaim the truth to all. There is deep concentration in the sound principle. I now know what concentration virtually means. The word manifested by the Master is ineffable, Akath. The perfect Master reveals the true word, Satchabani. Leading through the Sukmana, it takes one to Sihaj, a state of equipoise. The Bani of the Master word resounds in the entire creation. The expression Akath Katha, indescribable song, Dun, harmony, Anhad, Bani, limitless song, as used by Guru Nanak in the Granth Sahib, are all synonyms denoting one and the same principle, that is Nam, Shabd, or word. The word is above the ken of the Buddhi, the thinking faculty, and is heard only when rises above the eyebrows. The understanding of the word comes only by direct revelation to the soul. All knowledge and meditation emanate from the sound principle, Dun. But the sound principle itself cannot be defined. True Bani is given by the true master and is reverberating in the Sukmana. The Bani of the Guru is all-pervading. It proceeds from him, and he himself manifests it. The unstruck music is heard through the grace of a God-man, but few there be that commune with it. Perfect is the limitless song, the Anhad Bani, and the key thereto is with the saints. A saint gives full description about the true Nam, the word, to his disciples at the time of initiation. It is he who inspires the holy Nam and makes it manifest in the initiates. He just shows them that the treasure of divinity lies hidden within. He tells how to get in touch with it, as we find in the Japji stanza 6. This body is the holy temple of God, the light of the all-truthful shining therein. Peerless are the gems hidden in the temple of the body. Few there be that find them through the instruction of the Master. Discipline thy body and thy mind, and meditate on the word of the Master. O Nanak, search in the body for the treasure of Nam. This thou can get through boundless love of the Master. The Bani of the God-man resides within all of us, The same proceeds from God, and He Himself makes it audible. Whosoever communes with it is saved and attains the eternal region of truth. The Bani, word of the Guru, is heard right in the Sukmana, attuning to into the Siha state, the state of equipoise. According to the Master, four things are of lasting value, while all else are subject to decay and dissolution in the course of time. They are Nam, or the Bani, Sadhu, or the disciplined soul, who sees himself in the Father and sees the Father in the Master, the Word personified, Guru, and the Lord Gobind. Whosoever forms an alliance with them is saved and reaches above the ken of destruction. Eternal wealth is of the Nam alone. All other riches come and go. Fire cannot burn this wealth, nor can thieves steal it. This wealth of the Lord pervades the very souls of all and always goes with the soul. It is found through the perfect Master and never falls to the lot of one immersed in a life of the senses. Great indeed is the merchant, O Nanak, who gains the riches of Nam. Guru Gobind Singh Ji, the 10th Guru of the Sikhs, left the Sikh sanctuary on a permanent footing. He gave us the mystic form of Guru Granth Sahib as the standard guide to go by. Thus we can avoid human errors creeping in through ignorance. The compositions of the saints of almost all denominations, Hindus, Mohammedans, Brahmins, and others, equally find a place in the Holy Granth. This shows that spiritual heads, in spite of different castes, were equally welcome to partake of this heavenly bouquet hall of spirituality. As a practical example, Guru Nanak had Bahai Labala and Mardana, one a Hindu and the other a Mohammedan, on his right and left, as his boon companions all through his travels in Asia. All humanity, without distinction or creed or color, are welcome to the way of spirituality as taught by him. Guru Gobind Singh clearly indicated in the Guru Granth Sahib a way to the Lord through Shabd, word. Apropos of this, he enjoined the Sat Sangat, or the holy congregation constituted by five Pyaras, or the beloved of God, and called it the Khalsa, the pure. He defined the term Khalsa as those in whom the full heavenly light was effulgent and promised his own presence in them for all time. In his own words, Khalsa is my own form. I reside in the Khalsa. The Master enjoins the Sikhs to look only to such Khalsas, or the pure ones, for initiation, known as Pahal or Amrit. He said, whosoever keeps long hair without Pahal, from the five Khalsas, the pure or the Pirayas, and wears the outer garb only, is the most ignorant of followers. The Khalsas are the sadhus whose praise Guru Granth Sahib speaks of in volumes. Guru Nanak was Shabd personified. He changed his form and became Guru Angad, who transformed himself into Guru Amar Das, who in turn rose into Guru Ram Das and passed into Guru Arjan Dev. The Shabd personified continued to descend until it took the form of Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Guru of the Sikhs, who clearly stated that he will live in the Khalsa, or the pure ones, for all time. Of course, all saints promise their continued existence for all time in the shape of the Shabd. The kalsas then are the word personified, the word in them and they in the word. Thus, Guru Gobind Singh placed the trinity of religion in the Sikh sanctuary on a permanent footing. Trinity of religion. 1. The Shabd or the Nam. 2. The Satsang or the Holy Congregation. And 3. The institution of Khalsas for initiation purposes or going to the feet of the Khalsas for instructions, abiding by the dictates of the Guru Granth Sahib, the standard guide. Next, Guru Nanak goes on to tell us of the elementary steps leading to advancement in the spiritual path. These steps form the subject matter of stanzas 28 and 29 of the Japji. The qualifications befitting a probationer taking up the spiritual quest are given in stanza 38. And at the end of the Japji, a description of the five spiritual planes which the pilgrim soul has to traverse on the way to the Lord is given. The experience of our own souls will stand to prove that this view of religion as taught in the Japji by Guru Nanak is the correct one. We will not have to wait for that purpose until death. The Master does not believe in the promises on credit. If a man does not see the Lord while in this body, who is going to believe in life's consummation after death? O Lord, if thou art to give us salvation after death, what is the value thereof? Oh, none, says Namdev. The devotion of oneself to the practical side of the teaching will prove the efficacy of the means devised by Nanak. A calm and supreme joy begins to reign over the mind at the very outset. With the progress of time and practice, sweet symphonies are set afloat in the living temple of the human frame, and a world of heavenly night is made effulgent. Ultimately, man is brought face to face with the heavenly light in that place in which it is made all resplendent. In the end, man is brought to face the effulgent spirit in its full swing. It is only then that the universe appears full of the Lord and that there is nothing of the world that is not the Word. The Master wants each of us to penetrate through the fleeting forms and patterns and pass on from the phenomena of nature to nature's God. He warns us not to be misled by alluring attractions and wild enchantments spread out by Dame Nature through her evanescent charms and fleeting beauties. We should take them merely as signposts pointing to the Lord, the eternal God that resides within and pervades each of the ephemeral productions. He further wants us to summon up all our energies and press them into service so as to make our bodies the living temples of the divine music, the Word, in our earthly sojourn. He therefore says, O man, thou hast come into the world to make a profitable business, but alas, thou art engaged in fruitless and bewildering things of life. The night of earthly life is nearing its end. The merchandise that thou hast come to deal in is the all-pervading Nam, the Word, to be had from the saints. Thou hast got a human birth, and this is thy chance to contact God. Now or never is the motto given by Guru Nanak. Attachment to the objects of senses, the gorgeous display of riches and wealth, the luxuriant abundance and opulence, licentious sensualism of ease and affluence, all these contribute to the imbalance of the unsophisticated mind. These are the thorns and thistles that mar the beauty of the undisturbed state of mind, which is the soil best suited for the dawn of divinity. Every day, every hour, every passing minute are leading us more and more into the bondage of sensuous worldly phenomena. Nanak says, attached to the objective world, how can we have a glimpse of Thee, O Lord, the ever-existent One? We must stop short and see where we stand and into what heights of spirituality the true Master has come to lead us. The purpose of life. The Master sets before us the goal, which is to attain complete oneness with the Lord, the One Being. We can reunite with the source from which we once emanated and regain our permanent abode in the home of our Father, where joy and peace reign supreme beyond the reach of annihilation and ignorance, beyond all miseries of the troubled ocean of life. The Master exhorts us to realize Him in our souls, to rise in Him, losing all sense of the little ego, I, in the living temples of our bodies. The kingdom of God is within us. We have to recognize the inner man as the image of God, the physical body as the temple of God, the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, in which the Lord makes His appearance. In these living temples, we have to attune our souls with God and live in closer communion with Him. The temple of God is this body, in which the crest jewel of all knowledge makes its appearance. The ignorant never dream of this possibility. To them, man cannot be the living temple of God. This living temple, body, God Himself made, and He Himself dwells therein. Through the instruction of the Guru, He is found therein. After all attachments and delusions are burnt away. According to Guru Nanak, the whole of creation is to be recognized as the great temple of the Lord, which He permeates through and through. We have to become the flute for the breath of the Lord. The universe is the temple of God, but without the Guru, the God-man, darkness reigns supreme. And those that think otherwise, they are the most ignorant of people. This universe is the abode of the True One, and the True One verily dwells in it. With these words, the reader is now invited to study and carefully the Japji with fervent beseechings to the Lord, that He may grant us all favor of communion with the Shabd, so that we may rise unto Him. Kirpal Singh. Now we start the Japji with a commentary. Guru Nanak, by means of a prologue, attempts to define the definition of the nature of the Almighty, indefinable as He is, referring to His timelessness, His primacy, His being the uncaused first cause of everything, and goes on to hint about the means by which He may be reached. The theme is explored in the greater detail as we proceed further, and the entire piece is neatly concluded with a stanza which matches the opening one in its concentration, its condensation, and its literary excellence. The prologue is concerned with the nature of God and hints at the means to salvation. The epilogue sums up beautifully the nature of God's creation and concludes with a song of triumph for those who attain salvation. Prologue. There is one reality, the unmanifest manifested. Ever existent, He is Nam, conscious spirit, the Creator pervading all, without fear, without enmity, the timeless, the unborn, and the self-existent, complete within itself. Through the favor of His true servant, the Guru, He may be realized. He was when there was nothing, He was before all ages began. He existeth now, O Nanak, and shall exist forevermore. The text as given constitutes the Mool Mantra, or the basic principles as taught by Guru Nanak. God is described as the one supreme being, Nirankar, and the unmanifested manifested Ek Ankar, the eternal verity, the conscious spirit, pervading all forms that emanate from Him. He upholding the whole creation, He is not apart from His creation, but is eminent in every form. This universe is the abode of the True One, and the True One resides in it. He, being the creator of all, has no equal, and has therefore none to fear or envy. Again, He is above causation, has a sure existence, but not subject to births and deaths. He, the Timeless One, existing before time, in time, and beyond time, is the only object of worship and can be reached only through the favor of His holy word in man. Nanak sums up the different systems of human thought preached for the realization of oneness with God. He states their inadequacy to reveal the great reality. Philosophy, intellectual power, outward observances like the purification of the mind, which cannot purify the sinfulness of the mind. Keeping silence and fasting, etc., are but futile endeavors to reach the goal. There is only one way to reach Him, and that, says Nanak, is to make God's will our own. His will is already a part of our being, but we are not conscious of it. It is not a question of finding or creating something new, but rather of attaining oneself, attuning oneself to what is already there. Stanza 1. One cannot comprehend Him through reason, even if one reasoned for ages. One cannot achieve inner peace by outward silence, not though one sat dumb for ages. One cannot buy contentment with all the riches of the world, nor reach Him with all mental ingenuity. How may one know the truth and break through the cloud of falsehood? There is a way, O Nanak, to make His will our own, His will which is already wrought in our existence. Hukam, or will itself, is something which no words can describe. It baffles all description. The real understanding of the divine will comes only by direct revelation to every soul. But with a view to bring home some idea of it, the Master indicates the multifarious aspects directed by His will. He then goes on to indicate the touchstone by which one may know those who have become one with His will. The knowledge of the divine will means the destruction of the ego. Stanza 2. All things are manifestations of His will, but His will is beyond description. By His will is matter quickened into life. By His will is greatness obtained. By His will some are born high and others low. By His will are men's joy and sorrows ordained. By His will the pious obtain salvation. By His will the impious wander in endless transmigration. All exist under His will, and nothing stands outside. One attuned with His will, O Nanak, is wholly freed from ego. Nanak, as a great teacher, anticipates the confusion that might arise in the minds of some seekers by the study of various scriptures. These do not always say the same thing about God's will, but there is no need for doubt and skepticism, for what they really describe is not God's will, which in itself is indescribable, but its various workings and manifestations. God's will pervades and directs His creation. But it is something more, something that is itself and above and beyond creation. The reference here is to the law of karma and cause and effect. Our joys and sorrow are all ordained, being the result of our past actions. As one sows, so does one reap, is a common aphorism. Elsewhere, Nanak has beautifully said, the flowing pen of His will runs according to our deeds. Stanza 3. Some sing of His greatness, but only according to the power bestowed upon them. Some sing of His bounties, taking them as His signs. Some sing of Him as incomprehensible. Some sing of Him as transmitting dust into life and life into dust again, creator and destroyer, the giver of life and its withdrawer. Some sing of Him as at once the nearest and the most remote. There is no end to His description. Countless have tried to describe Him, but He still stands beyond all description. His recipients may tire, but His bounty is untiring. Ages upon ages, men has fed upon it. His will directs the world, and yet, O Nanak, He dwells beyond concern or care. God's will is indescribable, and the question arises, how may we become one with it? Guru Nanak replies that the best we can do is to sit in meditation at the early hour of dawn and commune with His holy word. Our actions and our efforts count, no doubt. It is through them that we achieve human birth. But, says Nanak, we cannot earn salvation, for it must come as a gift of His grace. Guru Nanak in the Japji turns time and again to this paradox that salvation is only possible through His grace. Yet we need effort to achieve this salvation. Stanza 4. True is the Lord, true His holy word. His love has been described as infinite. Men pray to Him for gifts which He grants untiringly. When all is His, what can we offer at His feet? What can we say to win His love? At the ambrosial hour of the early dawn, be you in communion with the divine word and meditate on His glory. Our birth is the fruit of our actions, but salvation comes only from His grace. O Nanak, know the True One as eminent in all. Communion with the Holy Nam, the Divine Word, together with meditation on His glory, is the open sesame to the realization of the One Being. Word is the substance and the power by which all life is made. Communion, holy communion, with its rapturous strains, is the gift that can be attained only through a living master. In His company, a life of holy inspiration and love of God is followed, and the inner eye is open to see the presence of God in all things. Nanak has hinted the greatness and importance of such a soul. A true master is not a mere human being, but has become one with God, and as such contains in himself the powers of all the gods and goddesses. He is veritably the Word made flesh and blood. The one lesson that such a master teaches his disciples is to meditate always upon the Lord, the Creator of everything, and never to forget Him. I'm going to stop right there. And we'll continue again the next time we read. Okay, but thank you, Master, for everything, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. There were 51 people in attendance for this evening satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Love is true love, which is called charity, which is already ingrained in our soul. If that is directed towards God, that is true love. God is love, our soul is also love personified, and the way back to God is also love.